things, even ourselves. Everything is changing. As I wonder what it is in existence that is steady, consistent, and unchanging, only one truth emerges. It is the unfailing love of God our Father. As I reach for Him through my darkness, He is there, always. If there has ever been a time that I did not feel the comfort and strength of my Creator's hand, it was because I let go. How do I repay Him for all He is to me? For being the strong tower in my life of indecision and doubt? The answer lies in how I would describe who He is to me. Because of His promise to guide and protect my life from evil, He is worthy to be praised. As the giver of life, and because of His gift of eternal peace, He is the one and only. With no other way for me to escape my sinful nature, He is my Redeemer. Without Him, I am nothing and would be lost. He is my salvation in this life. He has healed my broken spirit and delivered me from pain. He gives me hope. As an all-knowing, all-powerful, always present God with no limits, He is infinite. The wind obeys His voice. He commands the waves. He spoke and it was, because He is perfect. I have been created to bring honor and glory to Him. Every breath I breathe has been given to me for that purpose. All I am is because of His grace. For all He is and continues to be, there is nothing more I would rather do than lay my life before God Himself and worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. I hope everybody is doing well. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Okay. Do we have any announcements this morning? Miss Sherry?
Yes, I've got a couple. So the dollar is still coming up, and our business college for the first Saturday in November. We still need merchandise for all three of our rooms, the country kitchen, which would be like canned goods, anything that goes in the kitchen, baked goods.
Any other announcements? Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. Lewis? Okay, is that next Saturday? Okay.
And the... I can't think.
cooking next Saturday. Sounds like a plan to me. Okay.
You have an announcement here about the carnival for kids Saturday, October 1st. I just want to mention a little bit about that. And you're probably aware, but I know that the proceeds from the carnival go to help the outreach committee. And as I have been in each of the session meetings since arriving here, we've received a report nearly every month from the outreach committee, and it shows really a list of everybody they helped and how they've been able to help. And I just want you to know that your outreach committee is active, and they're performing ministry every month on behalf of this church. And it's neat to see what's going on. And I know this carnival is one of the ways that they are able to raise funds in order to do that outreach. And so I'm just going to ask that you would prayerfully consider supporting them in every way that you can. Do your prayers, for sure. But get involved with that October 1st outreach. Let Sonia know or somebody else that you may know that's on the outreach committee that you'd be willing to participate and help in that carnival. Just show up for the carnival and say, I'm here, put me to work. But this is a wonderful ministry that's being provided. And this is our church doing outreach to our community. And so we ought to be excited about what's going on there. And this is our opportunity to show our support for them as they minister on our behalf.
Do you have any other announcements? If not, let's take a moment to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord. And as we take a moment of silence, let's also remember all the victims from 9/11. Amen. Do we have any prayer concerns or praise requests this morning? Amy? If you'll please write these names also on the pew card so we can be sure we get them on our prayer list.
Yes, ma'am. A student I had last year, the Johnson family, that the single employer in that family lost his job and since July. So I didn't know that, but I talked to the mom. And they were so supportive of me praying through last year. So I just want us to help pray all the families.
Any other prayer concerns? Lewis. Okay, that's a little 10-year-old. Is that right? Okay. Susan. Oh, okay. Okay. Any others?
Before we pray, is there anyone, I know that 9/11 is, well, it was a terrible event, and yet today we're remembering that 10-year anniversary. There may be those here who maybe had loved ones who were affected by that, maybe someone who might have died in that event. If there is anyone, would you raise your hand or let us know? How about service members who have died serving our country since that time? Who is that? Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just... All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are so thankful this morning that we are able to gather here and worship you and glorify your name. There are so many places in the world where people have to do this in secret. They have to take their lives into their hands every time they gather to worship. And Father, we thank you this morning that for those who have fought so bravely, Lord, for those whose lives were taken so many years ago, for those who have died since that time fighting for our freedoms, Lord, we give you praise and glory, and we ask that you would comfort each of those families. Father, for each one that's been lifted up this morning, we pray for your comfort, for your healing power. For this young man that was shot this morning, Lord, we ask that you would surround him by your holy presence. And Father, that you would redeem his life from destruction, that you would protect him from death, Lord, that you would heal him and raise him up whole. And we pray, Father, that you'd use the doctors in every way. We give you praise and glory, Father. We look to you for our help. You are our strong tower. You are a mighty God, and we have gathered here in this place to worship you and to glorify you, to lift you up and praise your name. Let the name of Jesus be exalted. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Lord, help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll stand and join me in our call to worship. The heavens are singing, proclaiming God's creation.
Glory to God and praise God's name.
God's law is perfect. God's teachings are sure.
Rejoice, O heart, be revived, O soul.
Christ's way is clear. The way is right.
May we follow God's path and live in Christ's life.
Praise him, Lord, he is my help and
may be seated. Our call to confession. God of wisdom and truth, speak to us now. Inspire us with your word. Speak clearly to our hearts that we may walk in your ways and live in your love. In the name of Christ, we pray. Our prayer of confession is in silence, please. Amen. Our words of assurance. Those who listen to God's wisdom live secure and at peace, without dread of disaster. Christ is our wisdom and our way. In Christ we are forgiven.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, with a cleansing from sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to
really give glory to God. We have so much to be thankful for, and God is protecting us and providing for us, and we need to show that to Him. All right, the chorus one more time.
Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
During the service this morning, the session asked me to get up and talk about something that I guess when you talk about it, most people kind of say, I'm giving. But are you giving enough? Okay? About 2 weeks ago, we had a budget committee session / meeting and suddenly realized that the church is behind. We've been living off some borrowed funds, and we're running out. Right now, the budget, if you look at the budget and you look at everything that we're spending money on, and believe it or not, we have cut back, and we're cutting back more and more and more. But we still have electric, we still have gas, we still have payrolls, we still have the expenses of operating a church. And so what I want you to think about today and think about in the next weeks and months and whatever is how much do you give? And are you giving what is required to keep the church going? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward already right now, if you would please. And I'm going to ask Jonathan to get up and just say a prayer.
Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to serve you, the opportunity that you give us to give. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you said you would give us the power to gather wealth. And Lord, that wealth, you give us the power to gather it to establish your covenant in the earth. Lord, help us to do that. Let us give with that heart, that ministry would be carried out, that we would be able to do the things that please you and that glorify you. And I thank you this morning for each one. And I thank you, Lord, for their giving. I thank you, Lord, for their heart of service. And Lord, we offer these gifts now in gratitude and in worship of you, thanking you for all you've done. In Jesus' name.
time with Miss Mary Jo. If all the children want to come forward, please.
Get them pinned on because I don't need to keep it, okay? And I have some extras that I'm going to 69. Let's stand up and sing over here. This may be a song you haven't heard, but I think it's a song that we really need to sing. Everyone can help us.
I chose this particular song for a couple of reasons today, because I wanted God to know how very thankful I am that I live in a country that is under God, that our leadership is, and that we as people are God's people. And I pray that we always remain that way, and that our eyes may be open all the time to see God's miracles, because you never know when you might need to wade in the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. See that band all dressed in white. God's gonna trouble the water. The leader looks like the Israelite. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. Trouble the water. See that band all dressed in red. God's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the band that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Water.
I want to say just a word more to add to what Brother Steve was sharing with you earlier. I want to let all of you know that how much we appreciate your giving and all that you do. God gives us the opportunity to give and you respond, and we appreciate it, and the session appreciates it. But as Brother Steve was saying, the church has operated on some surplus funds, and basically the situation is that the surplus funds have been spent, and wisely, in a good way. But so we're operating on our giving, basically. And so we felt like, as we talked about in the session, that you all just needed to be made aware that we know that, and we're praying about that. And our consensus was, as we thought about it, is that, if we just keep doing the ministry, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, God will take care of everything. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. And so that's what our plan is to continue to minister, to continue to seek first the kingdom. And we want that same thing for you too. But we wanted to make you aware of where we're at. Because we knew if we made you aware where we're at, you would respond. And so that's our desire today. And so I wanted to sort of expound on that so that you wouldn't go away wondering. All right. Having said that, let's turn to the word for this morning. Scripture this morning is going to come from Exodus chapter 13. But the title of this sermon is Please Make Everything Easy. I can't take it if things are too hard. This is the fourth wilderness mentality that we're discussing this morning. Please make everything easy. I can't take it if it's too hard. There's some truth to that. I mean, sometimes if things get hard, we sort of, that's decision-making time. And the decision-making time is, are we going to go forward? Are we going to keep trusting the Lord? Or are we going to shrink back and sort of, just go into survival mode, if you will? Jesus said in John's Gospel that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, I just want you to know that this is the basis for everything I'm going to talk about this morning, because Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to anyone who'd listened, and I'm talking to anyone who'd listened this morning. Christian or non-Christian, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Life's not going to be easy. There are going to be difficult circumstances. There are going to be unpleasant things that come our way. The question is, how are we going to respond to those things? Who are we going to put our trust in? Will we have only ourselves to rely on? Or will we have our faith firmly placed in the one who can carry us through? That's the question before us this morning. And so, I want us to read this scripture from from Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. So they went up out of Egypt armed for battle. They were ready to go to war, so to speak. But the very first thing that happened was that God looked at the routes that they might possibly take and said, if I send them right now straight and toward the Philistine land, which would be the shortest way to go, they're gonna shrink back. They're going to immediately say, we need to go back to Egypt. We're not ready for this. See, we've been given the armor of God, but are we ready for the battles? God knows whether we're ready for the battles or not. I mean, these are His people, and we could look at this as though they're just starting out in a relationship with God, and that He's protecting them because of their immaturity. But that's not really the case. They've been God's people for centuries. The whole 400 years in the wilderness, they were God's people. Supposedly, they were worshiping Him and honoring Him even though they were slaves. Now that they've been delivered, I think God just recognizes that they're weak. That they're just not ready for a battle right now. And so instead of taking them the short way, He takes them on a long trip. I got a little map I want to show you here. And you can see Egypt over here to the left side. And when the children of Israel left the promised land, or when they left Egypt to go to the promised land, you could see that if they just followed the route closest to the Mediterranean Sea, they could be in the borders of the promised land in little or no time. A short trip. But what happened was is that they came over into the Sinai Peninsula area and they wandered south. And they went through this long trip. Some people sort of think that, ooh, I like the pointer. Point on the Gulf here to the left side. The Gulf here to the left. Yeah, the Gulf. There, that's it. Some people think that that might have been where they crossed the Red Sea. But if you'll point over here to the Gulf of Agaba, over this Gulf over to this side. Down. Who's doing this? There it is. That's it. There's a strong suggestion today that's the place where they actually crossed the Red Sea. And that they crossed over into Saudi Arabia, and that the holy mountain of God, where they worshiped God, was actually located in Saudi Arabia. Whether that's the case or not, the thing is that they didn't go the short way. They went the long way. They didn't go directly to the promised land. God knew that if they went that way, they would run right through the Philistine region. They'd run right through that area, and they had to face battle immediately, and that wouldn't be good. See, there's so many lessons that are involved in this because it shows how God takes care of us. We know God prepares us for battle, and we know that God will take us through battles. But then there are also times that God knows it's not time for the battle. It's not time for us to face the battle yet. We're not ready for it. So let's look at that and consider those things for a moment this morning. Because one of the things that God did do, no matter where the Red Sea crossing is, He led them. And I'm going to tell you another reason why I think the Red Sea is probably over here in the Gulf of Agaba. The Scripture says that they left Egypt. If you leave Egypt, you've got to cross over into the Sinai Peninsula region. You can't stay over here on this other side and be out of Egypt. And they left. And God led them on this long journey, but guess where the journey ended? It ended at this big body of water. And by the time they got there, the Egyptian army was on their tail. And the reason was is that Scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart again, even after the children of Israel left and went on their journey. And you got to think about it. Back in that day, the children of Israel couldn't look at map. I mean, they might have had some kind of map, but when you're out there in the plain and you're traveling and you come up to this huge body of water, you're not thinking about maps. You're not thinking about going left or going right. You're just thinking, we're at the end of our road. We don't have anywhere to go. God has led us into an impossible situation. We got water in front of us and we got an army behind us. The Scripture actually indicates that because the children of Israel were out there on this long trip, that the spies of Egypt, who were sort of looking to see where they were going, sort of got the indication they were out there rambling around, didn't know where they were going, lost their way. And that's why the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, we ought to go get them and bring them back. We've lost their, what they can provide for us, the labor force that we had. We've lost it. We got to go get them. And so they send 600 of their best chariots and a lot of other chariots besides. And they chase them all the way to the edge of the sea. And then the Scripture talks about the cloud that had been leading the children of Israel by day, going in front of them, and it was a pillar of fire by night. When they come up to the water's edge and they're there at that place, the pillar went around behind them and stood between them and the army of Egypt. Amen. And held that army on. And then Moses began to pray and talk to God about the situation. And God began to talk to Moses about the situation. He said, stretch your arm out. Stretch that staff out there. And I don't remember if it was an east wind or not, but a strong wind began to blow. And it blew all throughout the night. And it blew the water up into a heap on the left and up into a heap on the right. And it dried the ground throughout the night. So that the next day, the children of Israel began to cross over. My goodness. So when we, you know, why did God lead the children of Israel into this impossible situation? Why did God lead the children of Israel to a place where they couldn't do anything? Where they didn't have a choice? God wants to do something mighty. God wanted to show them that He was their deliverer. God's not going to lead us into a battle that He can't win. God's not going to lead us into a battle where He can't cause us to overcome. He's not going to lead us into a battle that He can't deliver us from. And He's not going to lead us into a battle that He can't sustain us throughout. I knew I had a third point. See, and the reason I needed to put that in there is because sometimes He doesn't just cause the battle to disappear. Sometimes He doesn't take us out of the battle, deliver us from it. Sometimes He makes us go through the battle. There's always a battle. You can't face the Philistines right now, but let me take you down on the long road into this impossible situation, and I'll put you through another battle. One that you can't go back on. The place where God took them, they couldn't go back to Egypt. It wasn't that they weren't going to go through a battle. It wasn't that they weren't going to experience any trouble. He just wanted them to experience the trouble in a place where they wouldn't be able to go back to Egypt, where they couldn't run away. We can't go forward and we can't go back. And so God showed up. And God performed His miraculous acts of deliverance. His miraculous act of salvation. You know, the scripture actually draws parallels between the children of Israel walking through the Red Sea and baptism. That would be like a parallel between the deliverance of walking through the Red Sea and salvation. God is in the business of saving us, of delivering us, of setting us free. But it's not just about deliverance. It's about affecting some kind of change in us to cause us to grow up, to be who He's wanting us to be. Because ultimately, once they cross over the Red Sea, He's fixing to lead them into the battles that they will need to fight. Battles in which they will need to trust Him. Battles in which they will need to go out onto the field themselves and actually raise their armor and go to war. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And John's Gospel also says this, I will pray the Father. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. That word helper means that He will always be there to help us no matter what it is we're going through. No matter what the situation that is before us, He will be our help in our time of need. It means, that word helper means that He'll be our comforter. That He'll comfort us when we're scared. When we're thinking that life's getting too hard. When we're wishing that things were easier, He will be our helper. Amen. He will be our comforter. That word means He will be our counselor. The one who will give us counsel, who will speak wisdom, words of wisdom, and words of hope into our situation. He's our intercessor. That word means that He will stand in the gap for us, that He'll be there for us, an advocate for us in our time of trouble. He will be our strengthener. He will be our stability. He will be our standby. I love that word. That's part of that definition of that word. That no matter what it is you're going through, He will be right there standing by you. Ready to help in every situation. Ready to take us through. Ready to strengthen us so that we can have the courage to face the battle. But there's a warning too. The scripture tells us to be careful not to quench the spirit. The scripture warns us not to grieve the spirit. And the scripture warns us not to resist the spirit. I mean, think about it. On the one hand, God gives us a helper who will never leave us and never forsake us. But then on the other hand, there is the possibility that by our actions, by our choices, we would actually grieve that Holy Spirit, that one who stands by us. We would actually quench the Spirit by our actions, by our attitudes. Our response to God is crucial. The way we respond to God is vitally important. James 4:6 says God gives more grace. The following verses along with that says that God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It actually goes on to say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will exalt you. And the truth that is there is that, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, God's always there to give more grace. But He gives grace to those who humble themselves, who respond in faith. Let me say this about humility. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what humility is. We think humility is maybe to dress as though we don't have anything. Or maybe humility is to, you know, to get down on our knees and just admit that we're nothing. But there's another side to humility. Humility is total reliance upon God. I mean, it's leaning on Him. I mean, you know, this pulpit, I mean, I can lean on this pulpit at least this much, and I know that it's strong enough to hold me up. I mean, I could put my legs out as far as I could. If my body was, my arms were able to hold me up, I'd know this pulpit could hold me up. But this pulpit, I don't have faith in this pulpit to take me through some of the other situations that I'm facing. But I've got faith in God. So I need to lean on God the same way I could lean on this pulpit. And when we're leaning on Him, when we're out there and we're stretched out and the only thing that's holding us up is the Lord, that's humility. That's humbleness. Humility sometimes is more than it is just bowing down. Humility is vulnerability. It's placing ourselves out there so much in God's hands that if He doesn't hold us up, we'll fall flat on our face. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That scripture starts out by saying, God gives more grace. God is gracious and kind. He's there with us. So God leads us on the long journey, especially when we've been wounded, especially when we've been beat down, especially when we are weak, because He knows we're not ready to move forward into battle. He knows that we're not ready to face the next test. See, that's something else I think we've got to understand. God's leading us from one test to another. The scripture reveals that God's testing us at many times, various places in our life. The things that we're going through are just another test. It's a test to see if we're still relying on Him. If we're going to trust Him, if we're really going to rely on Him, or we're going to try to handle it some other way. In our own strength. See, what we have to be careful of are wrong attitudes and wrong responses to God. Because wrong attitudes and wrong responses to God will put us in a holding pattern. It puts us in a place where we can't go on with God. See, the thing is that our relationship with God is very much like the journey that the children of Israel are on. Life with God is a journey. God has us on a journey and He's taking us someplace. He's taking us someplace. Where would God be taking us? He'd be taking us through His plan, into the center of His will. I love that verse of Scripture in Ephesians that says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand we should walk in. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a destiny for you. God has got things that He wants you to accomplish for Him. He's got a faithful path that He wants you to follow, that He wants me to follow. And it's really about our attitudes. Are we going to walk willfully along that path, or are we going to be resisting and grieving and quenching the whole way? Are we going to be trying to make our own path, or are we going to be willing to follow God's path? The children of Israel so much of the time wanted their own path. It's clear from the way they lived. And many of them got it. They got their own path, and their path was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And God waiting for their children to grow up so that their children could become the generation that would continue to follow His path. A path that led to the promised land. See, God's got a promised land path for each one of us. You've got a promised land out in front of you. There's a promised land that you need to possess. And I'm not just talking about the promised land of eternity. Ultimately, that is the grand prize. That is the grand promised land. But there's a promised land in this life that we need to possess. I told you that God's taken us on a journey and He's taken us to a place, and this place is this promised land. And on this journey, He takes us to a place where we can't go back. You know, the New Testament talks about not looking back. He takes us to a place where we have to make choices. And the question is, what is our choice going to be? He takes us to a place where God reveals His glory to us. Where His glory is revealed. You know, the Scripture says that we are being changed by the glory of the Lord. I don't know that we realize that. I mean, do you feel like the glory of the Lord is present in this room today? Well, amen is right. Whether you feel like it or not, the glory of the Lord is in this building. To some point, to some level, the glory of God is here. And as we respond to God, His glory will change us today. From one stage of glory to another. From one experience of glory to another. But you know, that glorious experience doesn't just happen here on Sunday morning. It happens every time you open your Bible. It happens every time you go to the Lord in prayer. It happens every time you make some kind of faith-filled response toward God. Every time you respond in following the path that He's laid out for you. It doesn't matter if your path's going directly to some place, or if He's given you the long route. Because if He's given you whatever route He sent you on, He sent you on that route because it's the best one for you. It's the place where you need to be in the situation, the place that you are in your experience with God. your place of growth in grace. And where you're going to go next has everything to do with how you respond to God. God's journey takes us to a place where we learn to trust Him. That's what it's all about. Learning to be faithful to God. And God's journey always takes us to a place where we're confronted with change. When's the last time you changed? Ask yourself that question. You know, for a lot of Christians, we get to a place in our spiritual growth, and that's it. We've got it. We know what we believe. That's as far as we're going. But I want to assure you that for every Christian, there's more growth out there if you want it. There's more promised land to possess if you're willing. But never say, I've arrived. Never say, I know all there is to know. Always be ready for the next change that God wants to affect in your life. Don't be comfortable holding patterns. Don't be comfortable in that place that is comfortable. Expect that God's going to continue to mold you and shape you and conform you into the image of Jesus. The battles you're facing right now are just preparation for the battles you'll have to fight to move into and possess the promised land phase of your life and your ministry. I'm going to say that again. I want you to hear it. You might even want to write it down. But listen to this. The battles you're facing right now are just preparation for the battles you'll have to fight in order to take the promised land. In order to move into your calling and your ministry. We're called to possess the promised land, but what is it? We've talked about it. We've called it the promised land, but what is it? I'll tell you what my promised land is. I know what it is. My promised land is my walk with Christ. And His calling on my life. If I can be faithful day after day on a daily basis to walk with Him, then I'm possessing my promised land. If I can be faithful to grow in the knowledge of Him and find out more of who He is every day and more of who He's made me to be, then I will come closer to possessing the promised land that He's given me. And if I walk in the calling that He's put on my life and am faithful to run the race to its very end, then I'll come as close as I ever could to possessing the promised land that He has for me in this life. Man, that's what He wants for each of us. Let me read the scripture to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude. Because he who has suffered in the body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now look at that. We got to hear it again. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude as Christ had. Because he who has suffered in the body is done with sin. Maybe that's why God's taking us from battle to battle. Because eventually maybe we're going to be done with those sinful attitudes. Maybe it's all a purging process, a maturity process, a process where He's refining us and reshaping us and helping us to put away our sinful attitudes. As a result, that person does not live the rest of their earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. And as they're coming, and this is what it's all about. We want it to be easy. We don't want to face the hard things sometimes. But what the Lord's saying is, if you'll face it, I'll help you. I'll be there for you. I'll counsel you through it. I'll stand by you. And I'll make you a better person for it. I'll mold you and shape you into my godly character. If you'll just trust me. I don't know what battles you're going through right now, but I know you're going through some. Because Jesus said you'll have trouble. But I can tell you again today, just like Jesus did, you don't need to fear what you're going through right now. You need to only put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus said those words, He had just been talking to His disciples, and He said, I told you all these things so that you could have my peace. And then He said, there's going to be trouble in this world, but you don't have to fear it. Put your trust in me. I've overcome the world. I'll help you be an overcomer. The Scripture says in 1 John that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Why? Because it's in Jesus. Because it starts first with Jesus. And it is expressed every day through the person of Jesus Christ and in His name. Put your trust in Him today. You will never be disappointed. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, be your Lord and Savior, this is where life begins. This is where life eternal starts. This is where you begin the journey of possessing your promised land. What are the enemies that are before you today? Face them. If it's not time for you to face them, God will lead you to another battle. But at some point, He's going to bring you to the place where you've got to face your enemies. And you've got to stand up and fight. And He'll be with you to the very end. I'm going to ask you to stand as we stand. Let's pray. Most gracious God, we worship you and we glorify you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place. And Father, we thank you that your presence is here among us. Lead us in the power of your presence, that we might be your faithful ministers. Let your peace rest upon us and be with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.